Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our Amazon page. Please remember to shop Amazon, and when you do, go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon link on our website. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program. Now, on with the show.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hi, everybody. It's Mike O'Mara. Welcome to the show. Tony Perkins is in studio today.
Hello.
The Tony Perkins Show featuring Gary Stein will be doing a live taping at the legendary DC Improv this Saturday, April 29th. Get off your asses and go to see Tony at the Improv.
Yes.
It is, you never know. It's a very unpredictable show. And this, hold on, they just handed this to me.
Oh, what's this?
Oh, what?
What? Oh, my God.
Breaking news?
Listen, I know a lot of people know Tony. A few less of you know Gary Stein. He was a behind-the-scenes guy. But Gary Stein is Tony's radio partner. And it says here that 7:30 on the stage at the Improv this coming Saturday night, Gary Stein is going to show his penis to everyone.
What? What?
Wait a minute.
It says here, right here in the copy, Gary Stein will be doing the amazing exploding penis trick.
I remember that trick.
On stage at the DC Improv, Saturday, April 29th.
You want to get there early so you're in the front so that you can see everything clearly.
You remember the bit. Well, yeah. We got in trouble for that bit.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lewis.
Yeah. It's like a Gallagher show, isn't it?
Yeah, bring a raincoat.
People will have plastic in the front row.
That's right. It's going to be a spectacular.
Saturday, April 29th, they're doing their taping their podcast featuring special guest Rob Mayer. That's not necessary.
Yeah.
That's not necessary.
He's very funny, Mike.
He's funny. He's funny. I know his cousin from Nevada. Sarah Fraser, is she going to be singing?
She may take her top off. She said that.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
More nudity abounds.
Yes. She said that she's, anyone tells her to take off her shirt, she takes it off.
Very sweet.
Wow, that is nice.
I'm going to book
humanitarian.
That's going to be exciting. We'll keep plugging that throughout the show. But Tony's going to be. Are you paneling for today?
I will do whatever. I am at your disposal. Whatever you want
stay
me to do.
Yes,
came in early.
I don't have to get
nice.
Okay. Because Tony's one of the few people. The few people where I always ask that question because I want him to panel as opposed to somebody who rolls in and rolls out. Thanks for the 5 minutes. Get out.
Kick rocks.
You didn't mention the third special guest, Mike. It's on the one sheet.
Who is that?
Rob Ford.
Oh, yay! Rob Ford, yes. Rob Ford will be there.
He makes every show look like a sellout.
May I just mention, if you want tickets, go to dcimprov.com.
All right, dcimprov.com.
Go see I'll see
Tony.
You Saturday night, Tony.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Put me on the guest list.
Tony, we rearranged the furniture in the studio, and we were doing a mic check, and Tony was surprised at the detail that we go through our mic check.
Yes.
And frankly, when you listen to this podcast later on today, if you're listening to it live now, you'd be surprised, too.
Yes.
Logistics, Mike, as you can tell, there's a headphone wire going across the board right now. And I was like, well, I know there's a headphone jack underneath me. Mm. Why is there one across the board?
Oh, yeah.
You know why?
It's always fun. Mm. It's always fun. Yes.
Because Pony is a man of mystery and he needs to be jacked in on my jack when I have to move here and we have a guest.
Yeah. And Pony also craves intimacy.
Yes.
Loves so we got the close. Sound check done. We were testing all the microphones. Rob Helen Keller Spiewak was doing the... the sound check.
It didn't take a while.
Look what I have. Wah. Yeah.
That's water.
Yes, wah.
That's water.
Touch his palm.
And then, I have to do a big setup on this. And then Tony casually mentions, God, guys, it's just like you're doing pet sounds. And suddenly, I remembered something I didn't even write down from my show prep that I desperately wanted to talk about. And I want to preface this by saying, what I'm going to say right now is inevitably going to piss some people off.
Uh-oh.
Period. You're Uh-oh. Not going to be happy about it. I pop on the documentary about the making of Pet Sounds, which I may have had a radio partner that was also a big fan, correct?
Yes.
And then, so you hear genius, 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 genius.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, there is one of the cuts from Pet Sounds, one of the what I would call the hits from Pet Sounds.
Biggest hit,
wouldn't
probably.
It be nice?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sloop John B., another tremendous hit, and then probably the big hit love song, God Only Knows.
Yes. Right, right.
Also, and then I watched this documentary, and I'm cruising in the car yesterday, and I said, you know what? I've got my new little Apple Play. I get anything I want. If I want to pop on Pet Sounds, let me put... What a ball of monkey pus that album is.
What?
Whoa, where did I... Wait, did somebody not copy me on the Genius memo? Excuse me? Oh, come on. Genius?
Yeah.
Like Beatles genius?
Well, yeah, well, it did inspire Sergeant Pepper's. It was like throwing the gauntlet down. Am I right?
That is
sure?
Right. That
Hold
is
on.
Right.
Are we sure about that?
Guaranteed.
I know he went up into the room and he played it for McCartney and Lennon.
Yes.
And they listened to it twice.
Yes.
Yeah. I heard about that. But at the same time, it was just like I was waiting for something to... No, and listen, I'm not looking for old Beach Boys. I was just looking for inspiring music. Mm-hmm. And... I love some of the cuts on there. I think wouldn't it be nice? But this transformative,
Can I say something?
Yes, I know you're a musicologist.
I'm a musicologist. My wife and I watched this special just the other night, within the
last
week.
Yeah. That's what I'm referring to, yes.
And afterwards, my wife said, is it really that big a deal? And I said, it is a big deal in terms of where it stands in pop culture history and pop music history. I said, I never really got it.
I didn't think we'd agree. I thought we were going to disagree.
No.
I'll disagree with you.
Okay, but now you...
I thought Pet Sounds was a special on the Animal Planet Network.
Yeah, like the dog whisperer?
I was waiting. Coyote Williams.
Coyote Williams. With a snapping turtle on his finger.
By the way, is Coyote Williams an internet performer?
Yes, it is what is known as a web series.
It's a web series.
Yes, it's a
Coyote
big one.
Williams is my son's favorite performer now because he let himself
really.
Get
he's
stung
a performer.
By a scorpion.
He's a performer.
Yeah,
I'm not sure I'd give him anything more than host.
Book him.
Okay,
yeah,
I will.
Book him, Dano.
Hey, he's big. He's
very big. Very big.
Very busy.
And by the way, book him over the other guy you were working.
Okay,
because I'm worried about that other guy.
Don't be worried.
Trying to get Pat Neely from the Neelys.
Safe to win.
I don't even know Pat Neely.
Family Dollar talk show host.
Yeah, by the way, that's going to get... And that, I was thinking about having Pat Neely on. No, that would not be sincere.
I would end up mocking him,
and then I would be labeled racist.
Gourmet whole kernel corn.
Okay, I would be... No.
Sprite lemon lime soda.
Okay, it's the worst broadcast.
Windex glass cleaner.
Okay, the worst broadcaster in the history of broadcasting.
But he has a game show.
He has a game show.
Yes, on Channel 50.
Oh.
And it's called Save to Win, where you try to remember what grocery products the ugly model puts in a bag.
My kid loves Coyote Williams, and he gets bitten and
Family
stung
Dollar
by
Company.
Things. Yeah. And he gets stung, so that's why I like. But getting back to Pet Sounds, you were going to make your point about... Rob, here's the thing. I listened to it. It sounded the same. That's what I... There was not... When you listen to a Beatles album that is transformative,
right.
They make that big psychedelic move, you've got... There's no song that doesn't capture you and sound different. But Brian, everything was like, I want to be alone in a sandbox. That's what I want.
It was a grown-up album from rock and roll.
Yeah.
What was the premise? The premise was actually Pet Sounds are his favorite sound, his pet sounds.
And here's where it came in music history. Brian Wilson heard Rubber Soul and said, wow, I don't want to do the same old cars about songs and
girls
and all that. I want to do something more significant. Mm. And
so
he envisioned,
did he hear Rubber Soul and base it on...
He wanted to grow up. He wanted the Beach Boys to grow up.
My question about
they
Rubber
didn't
Soul,
have hard shoes.
Rubber Soul was a bit of a poppy Beatles album,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah.
So he didn't like the poppiness of the Beatles?
No. He thought the Beatles, with Rubber Soul, they moved from I Want to Hold Your Hand, She Loves You, to Norwegian Wood, In My Life, that kind of thing. So he wanted to do that.
And see, the Beatles, look, the controversy over this album is that, and you saw the documentaries, when they bring Pet Sounds, this Beach Boys album, to the powers that be at Capitol Records, they put it out, they kind of say, yeah, we'll promote it, but then they release a best of album.
Yeah.
Now they're talking about the fact that they weren't visionaries and all this stuff, and there's a lot of bitching and moaning about the fact, it took 20 years to go platinum. Mm-hmm. And I'm listening to all this whining, but this must be... something that, the album cuts off of Pet Sounds must be spectacular.
I know.
I found them not spectacular.
I will say this. I will say it hasn't aged as well as the Beatles music.
Yeah.
But I think if you look at it in context, it holds up.
Here's what I think. I think Pet Sounds, you can compare Pet Sounds to Sgt. Pepper in that Sergeant Pepper, the best two songs from that, well, not the best two songs, but two of the better songs from those sessions were not on the album. Strawberry Fields and Penny Lane, they released them early as a single. Oh, same with Pet Sounds. Good Vibrations was a Pet Sounds track that they released as a single. So I think
that's what Tony Perkins with the musicology.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
See, Good Vibrations is on Pet Sounds. I'm saying it's a different thing.
Exactly.
All you need is one like that.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. But there are all these, you know, the songs about I want to put your head.
Which album did John Stamos play on?
The Kokomo album.
Thank you.
Do you feel as though sometimes when we've heard genius, and it was in Brian Williams' head, and then he
Brian Williams said he was there.
When I was in the Beach Boys.
But yeah, I'm doing that a lot lately. I'm doing that a lot as I slide into Alzheimer's.
A lot of people, I think they throw the word Brian Wilson and genius around a lot, but I do think that the album in context was very important. I'm going to actually, if he remembers to go to the venue, I'm going to see Brian Wilson next month perform the Pet Sounds album. I think it's at the Lincoln Theater.
Okay, wow. So this is a big hype machine for Pet Sounds.
Yeah, well, it's the 50th anniversary.
That's the thing. I think even after 100 years, you can get played. And
we're always played.
I think we're always played.
Yeah.
The problem is, Mike, it's this. Big Beach.
Yeah, and you that's know. What Mike, look, Michael Jackson tried to do that, but he died.
Yeah.
You know what? And you know what I sour on?
I know, the big hype machine with a movie and then an album, then a tour.
This is it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What I sour on as I get older is the hype machine. I sour on artists sitting there and talking about the process and how difficult and what genius.
Like, we do that, don't we, sometimes? We talk about
the genius of what we do?
The serious business of comedy.
Very serious.
50 years from now. Mentioned Pet Sounds. We were doing a mic check, and that's when I decided to talk about it.
50 years from now, they'll be dissecting this show like Pet Sounds.
This episode.
This episode. That's right.
No, I think what we have on this show is that I like that we talk about anything, and we talk about it with a level of intensity.
No mercy. There's no genius.
But I hate it when it's like, oh, this. And then I listen to it really excited because I hadn't listened to the album.
Listen, I bought the deluxe edition that came out. And it's like, come on, this is not a. And I appreciate it. I do appreciate
it. Rob, can we bring up Pet Sounds on your. Are you able to do that where you are? Can you bring up Pet Sounds?
There's a song about vegetables, right? Isn't there a vegetable song?
Side B, as I recall, is a lot weaker than Side A.
Because
I have the vinyl. Yeah.
Family Dollar Cauliflower.
And Rob, since you're a Brian Wilson fan, let me ask you this and be honest, okay? Because they talk about him as a genius, and I get it, but didn't he peak early and really never. Match like there was supposed to be the Smile album,
right? That came out much later in pieces.
Yeah,
well, it's one of those piano tracks where they put thumbtacks on the piano keys. Oh my god!
To be fair, my Uncle Sam did that and
this
got
is
in
a
trouble.
Fun song,
yeah. Let's make
this
it.
God only knows. Punk. This is the hit.
Yeah,
I thought this was a Beatles song.
This is the hit. Don't play the hit. Play the album cuts that everybody doesn't know.
All right, hold
that's
on.
The
do
best.
You have any of the album tracks?
Some celery sticks.
God Only Knows is the best song on the album.
I agree. It starts with just a little glance now.
Right away you're thinking about I've never heard this song. Now.
Then you want to get into her pants now.
Okay, play another one. All right, this is Pet Sounds.
Oh, I don't think there's any drugs.
What it is rather, in my opinion, pretty simple melodic exercises with tremendous support behind them.
Yeah.
Oh, there's layering,
like,
right?
Almost to the
production,
point of over-support.
Lots of production.
All right, play the other cut. That's one of the album cuts, Oscar. Here's another one.
Sounds international.
What is this one?
This is the title cut, the titular Pet Sound.
This is an instrumental, right?
I believe so.
An instrumental?
Yeah, there are instrumentals on the album.
Oh my gosh.
Because that's what the Beach Boys are all about, not their voices.
Too much acid.
Now I know I'm going to be attacked because when you have a hype machine that says genius, and somebody disses it, you get slammed. And this has happened with movies in the past. I wanted to really I wanted it to speak to me.
Now, what about this? Is another. This is. I would classify this as a hit. Do you like this song?
This I've is always, my favorite. I like this. Pantone. Yeah, yeah. I think this is. I think that the best song on the album is "God Only Knows." This is my favorite song.
Yeah, but you
because
know what?
No, wouldn't just, it be nice? Yeah. Is I think the best song.
But
on the
isn't
album.
This song very much like early Beach Boys?
Yeah,
this is the one track. Yeah.
Throwback.
Yeah, that sounds yeah. like okay. It's
I
almost
like when
like,
they go a cappella with the yes. harmony. Yes, Oscar Santana.
Was this on the Forrest Gump soundtrack?
I don't know. I didn't watch
did
that movie very
that?
Often.
Why did you?
Because that's where I learned about old American music is on that soundtrack.
He sounds like he's watching some guy play yeah. the blues across the railroad tracks.
That's right. Old American music.
Yeah, like the Beach Boys.
What was it like during the Civil War, Uncle Mike?
Play some of that old American music from the first Foo Fighters album.
By the way, your breath's blowing on that window pane of 40 years old. Should I point that out to you?
Yeah, the 40-year window pane is fogging.
Right. No, but culturally, I wasn't exposed to that music.
And that was a pretty good greatest hits. It had
yeah,
a lot of music
so I there was actually a second album. That and the Dazed and Confused album exposed me to music I'd
this
never
is
heard
how
before.
A lot of young people. Yep. Like, hey, in our day, Mike, it was the American Graffiti soundtrack.
American Graffiti. Yep. We got right. the 50s music because right. we listened to American Graffiti.
That's right.
Yeah. So we can wrap it up because we do have to move on all with right. the show. So I think we can all agree, Pet Sounds, Brian, you know, Brian Wilson, loved it. That's the way I would describe it.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Oh my God, yes, dude. Yes. You guys look so lame. I love it, dude. You ninjas dressed up all old school just to meet me? So Jedi, you guys suck. Both of you guys suck. You look great, huh?
Thanks.
I'm Dontari. What up, Hansel? Yeah, that's sick, dude. Hey, let me introduce my collector, dude. They're all losers. I hate these guys. We got TRS-80, Rubik, oh man, Gleek. Hey, dude, this guy gives the best shitty tattoos ever, dude. He's a genius. His tattoos are so stupid. He's the one who did my Colonel Sanders. Look at that, pretty epic, huh? It sucks. I don't like it, dude. Why would I do this to myself? I never wanted this on me. I love it, dude. I got it when my grandfather died.
That's really cool. So, what's the deal with the show?
Yeah, where you want us to fire up this chainsaw? Coliseum? Trevi Fountain? Spanish Steps?
What? No way, dude. Hey, those places are nar-nar bobo. We're holding an abandoned medical waste facility on top of an industrial trash heap, dude. It's totally toxic, but super chill.
Cool. Sounds dope.
Yeah, fresh.
Oh, what? He's like, sounds dope. Fresh. They're doing the voices and everything, dude. I didn't think you guys would do the voices. That's sick, dude.
Sounds dope. Sounds fresh.
You guys, I don't like you guys, dude. It's an honor to have you.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana, and now, the best of O'Mara.
You know, looking good doesn't need to cost a fortune, and there is a solution. This is Mike O'Mara, your friend, your pal, here to tell you about 5-4 Club. They're revolutionizing the way men shop. We all know sometimes we look like schlubs. Each month they send you a curated box of 2 to 3 items that are handpicked to match the current season and your style. They've been helping men with fashion for over 15 years and ship to over 100,000 men every month. They know what they're doing. 5-4 Club will help you build a wardrobe 1 month at a time. You're going to look good and you're going to feel good. You'll get $120 worth of clothes for just $60 a month. Plus, you can pause or cancel anytime, no commitments. As a 5-4 Club member, you'll also receive up to 50% off items in their online shop and access to exclusive members-only items, free shipping, and size exchanges. Go to 54club.com, do it now, and enter the promo code TMOS, and they'll give you 50% off your first month's package, plus a free pair of sunglasses. That's 50% off your first package at 5-4 Club, spelled F-I-V-E, come on, F-O-U-R, you know, club.com. That's F-I-V-E-F-O-U-R, club.com. Promo code TMOS, 54club.com, promo code TMOS, too.
I got to share this with you, and it is not something I am in any way, shape, or form proud of.
Let me ask you a question, Mike. Yes. How was your yesterday?
It was fine. It was fine up until about 6:45 in the evening.
Why? All right, that's normally when things are winding down.
Okay, you know we are getting this house ready for vacation. And
yes.
I'm talking about not a vacation. We are vacating the premises. So we really had a lot of things on a punch list that we had to take care of.
Right.
And we've done remarkably well. I would say that outside of last night, we were about a month ahead of schedule.
Carla is on fire.
She is a whirling dervish around here. She's taking care of it. Little tiny things that you have to do. Like, for example, we have a gas stove in the kitchen that we with the left rear burner apparently for quite some time hasn't worked. Well, we never use the left rear burner.
That's your worst burner, by the way.
Isn't that your worst burner on a stove?
Four burner stove, the left rear, useless.
You don't
might as well
that.
Put a potted plant on it.
So we are chugging through stuff. I had a plumber out yesterday. The day before, I had an electrician out.
Right.
You know that we had painters out doing some touch-up painting around here, getting everything done. And then I did the thing, which I talked about, where I went out to the old Home Depot and I got the jacks for the floor and everything for an old 1903 Victorian that I can do.
Right.
We're just remarkably easy to accomplish, and we are well ahead of schedule, and I couldn't be more proud of that.
And what's so great about that is 4 weeks ago, you looked at me like you were about to climb a mountain and you had no shoes on. You thought you weren't going to get there.
I will tell you seriously, the way I looked at it is, it was so, at the beginning of this, it was kind of daunting. Look, for anybody that moves, it's the same way. What you have to throw in with my case is a studio that has to be broken down and that whole thing. So you take that element in there and, you know, throw in the fact that you got somebody who's, you know, going to be moving into your house. Mm-hmm. It's a new thing. So I'm punching this list done and I get everything done. And this guy came out and looked at the burner yesterday and it was fine. And he said, well, it needs this. I got to order it. I should probably be able to get it in tomorrow and we'll be back out tomorrow.
Okay.
Now, what I don't realize.
Now, how did you find the burner guy?
Carla did it.
Okay.
Carla found the guy online. So, you know, I know nothing about how the details or how he was selected or Angie's List or anything like that.
Craigslist, maybe Christian Mingle.
Who the F knows how it happened? I have no idea how
so
it happened.
So, you know what? This is where I would love to have, what's his name here? Because he always
the guy that's late?
Yeah, the guy that's now.
Yeah, well, we just had to start without him today.
5 minutes late from when he said he would be here.
Well, of course he would. That's why
but
I started the show.
He always has a guy.
Right.
You know what? You and I, we lack having guys.
Well, I did have a guy for the electric, and I did have a guy for the plumbing work. So I did have a guy.
Oh, cool.
But this is one where we were flying blind. So he comes out and he said, I will need to get a switch. I will need to get a switch and bring it tomorrow. So that's cool. And he's a perfectly nice guy. We have a nice conversation.
Has this guy just escaped from Kiev?
It's a $49.90 sales call that, you know, just to come out and diagnose.
Sure.
It. And then if you get the repair work done with them, they take that off the bill.
Sure.
So that's a fine situation. I pay him in cash. Perhaps not the best decision that I could have made.
This is the way I prefer it, is to be paid in cash.
This is what really drives me insane about the entire service culture that we have in the United States. It is called the service window.
Okay.
Everybody is familiar with this. This is when a company says, yes, we'll have somebody out there on Monday, but they will be out there between 3 and 6 p.m. It's a 3-hour window. And
question.
Yes.
Don't you think the service window is a relatively recent development?
Yeah.
Like maybe the last 15 years?
And it's been my experience that when you have the companies that require that, it's usually because they just don't have their S together anyway.
Well, they put it on
you. Not all the time, because look, there are lots of people that have service windows and they get there, but it's just the way they do business. And what it is it totally takes the focus off the customer and puts it to the total 100% convenience of the people that are doing it. But that's the way of the world. I accept it. But what I don't accept is when you have a 3-hour window.
And yours was 3 till 6.
3 till 6 p.m.
Effectively, your entire day.
The fact is, you know, it's fine. We have a small baby. We're in the house. It's not like we're going out to dinner or anything or going out.
It's Regis. It's fine.
It's not. Yeah, there's no problem.
But for whatever reason, you know, we got done doing our stuff yesterday, and we've been maintaining a pretty vigorous schedule here,
right?
And we've been doing it, and I don't know, maybe the pressure of here I am trying to justify my own behavior.
You know what? I think we all know where this direction might be headed.
I'm trying to justify. Carlo is getting more and more annoyed at this because when you have a 7-month-old baby, you have a very specific schedule.
Very gutsy of you to talk about how Carla was getting annoyed.
Well, she was. I'm in a way.
Yes. How was your mood?
I'm telling the truth.
Did you feed on her annoyance?
Yes.
Okay.
I did. And you know that I have made changes in own life.
Yes.
Where I am trying to be more involved.
You're not doing bitter.
During the fatherhood thing.
That's right.
And, you know, and it's been a very quiet month of February. I've been I've been a very good boy.
Yes.
Not any late nights out.
Good.
None of that stuff. And perhaps there's a part of me deep in my soul where that might be driving me a little insane.
I think it's bettering you, Mike.
And I think perhaps that there was some, let's just say, pent up tension
Understood.
About this. So here's the point. We get to the 6 o'clock hour, and Carla calls at 6 o'clock, and they said, "Oh, he'll be there in 20 minutes."
So
now you're out of a 3 hour window, and the guy's not going to be there until 20 minutes
here's
later.
What I see is the biggest problem
with
that.
No courtesy call at all.
That's the problem. Is that if you have a 3 hour window, and if you call me and say, "I know we said 3 to 6, but if I make it 6:30,
right,
then I'm almost okay with it. Maybe
yes.
a little peeved.
Exactly.
But it shouldn't be on you to find out that he's going to be late.
So the idea of the service call and not getting the courtesy call as far as the service call was a little bit frustrating. And then 6:20 came and went. Another call was made at 6:30.
So you called again. You guys called them again.
Yes. Another call was made at 6:30. And he said five minutes. They arrived at roughly 10 before 7.
50 minutes late.
50 minutes late. 50 minutes late. Well, if you're really, talking about the window, the total window now was almost 4 hours.
Right. And
which is really okay to get a repair that's probably going to take 15 minutes to, hold somebody hostage all day. The bottom line is, and listen, I'm trying to justify my behavior.
I understand.
I will tell you this. This is the way I can explain it to you, that the mistake they made is pretty obvious. The reaction that I had was perhaps a little more significant than it should have been.
So your reaction was maybe for something more grievous than missing it by 50 minutes?
I just said, "Hey, how you doing? Come on in." I mean, I wasn't real friendly, okay? So we come in.
I was curt.
Yeah. And they apologized.
Okay.
And this is the part where I'm not proud of it, because they did apologize. If you're keeping a record of this, they did apologize.
Right.
And that's the way it went down. So they did apologize. And they came in, and then they go in and they look at it, and he knew what the repair was because he'd been out the day before with his assistant. And at this point, he says, "Where's the power to this this unit?" And that's when I give him the little Napoleon, because this is, we'll crawl down into the dungeon, go into the land of the spider bites again,
your hand? Okay?
But it's recovered,
good,
100%. But the fact is, I'm a little frustrated. I'm just a little frustrated because, they're here late and it's immediately due for me. And so let me finish. I go to the head of the stairs where the dungeon is. And now normally, and I've done this many, many times, I will walk somebody down in the dungeon to the breaker box and show them exactly where it is and probably show them the proper breaker that is supposed to be thrown to quit. This time I said, go down there. It's down there. Take a left or right.
Hello, sports fans. This week's Omericast comes to you from the Steel City Studios. Join me,
Jim Amato,
and my special guest, Scott Spindler, a P1 from Mars, PA, as we look back on the past week and more broadcasting with highlights including Obsta Boatin' with Mike.
I'm a mook.
Great interviews with Bruce Campbell and Corey Blaze, and a salute to our alma mater, Clarion University of Pennsylvania.
Clarion!
Get it today on the TMOS app, on iTunes, or at MikeOmeraShow.com.
The best of Omera.
These guys are so pissed off.
You just sent them down there.
I said, "Yeah, it's down there. Take a left or right." He said, "Where is it?" I said, "It's on the other side. Where is it? It's on the other side of the wall. Just go down there and take a right."
It's a what the word is. It's a tortuous journey.
So
winding.
At this point, I'm just irritated. I'm irritated that a 3 to 6 window is now 7 o'clock, which is we go into at 7 o'clock. I'm not a person of routine. You know this.
Right.
But now I am when it comes to 7 o'clock. And here's the way the drill goes. It's baby goes upstairs with mama to get his little bath. He's got a little eczema, so she's got to have his little stuff put on. Baby comes back down. Baby feeds one last time. Daddy takes baby up by 8 o'clock. Baby is in the crib. Baby is asleep. That's the way it goes.
Maybe the most important facet of getting a child to sleep through the night.
That's it.
Is routine. So, and that routine starts 2 hours out.
So now the guy has, because of whatever reason, has dicked with my routine.
Right.
And you know, and it's funny. And you know how I feel about somebody being late.
No. I hate when that happens.
Well, you have to be here today. You got to do the Oscarazzi. That's all we were
trying to call out.
As long as you have that, that's all we were doing. We were counting on that. So anyway.
Oh, you mean Oscar wasn't here?
He was sitting quietly. That's funny.
I was sitting on my hands.
Hey, so, buddy.
Telling the story about a workman coming out to
I got
to
it.
Work
absolutely.
On the so I'm
I've been listening
there,
online.
And I'm going. I watch these guys, and they come upstairs, and I'm just. For whatever reason, there's no real justification. I mean, yes, a little inconvenience for me, but there's no justification. But I think because of a lot of just different things I've been dealing with the move and the studio, I'm just seething.
It's exponential.
These F-ups, you know?
It builds up.
Show me how to turn the power off. And it's like, yeah, you do this for a living, right? You know, figure out how to turn the power. He comes up into the kitchen and walks over to the burner and turns the other one on, and it lights, which means the electricity is still going into the thing. Right. And he looks at me like this, and I swear to God, this is what he is. He looks at me and goes...
He shrugs. He gives you the globes.
At this point...
I don't know what to do.
At this point, I don't hesitate. I'm done. I go, F this. F this.
Do you say the word F or do you say the letter F?
I say it loud. I shout it at the top of my mouth. F this. F this. You know, you have a 3-hour window that you can't make. You don't give us a courtesy call. And then you're 1 hour later after that. F this. We got a kid to take care of. We got to deal with these. And then, let me just say, I have found that there are certain individuals in our world that don't take kindly to that type of profanity.
Understood.
And so immediately this guy, without hesitation, goes, that's fine. I leave. No problem at all. I said, then give me my $50 back for the initial service call. Sure, I'll get that. And we start going back and forth. He says, I don't have that. I said, I'll take 40. How about, no, I'll give you the whole thing. So I follow him out to his car. And he's going,
my God.
You know, and he starts saying,
is he a big guy?
No, he's not as big as me. So anyway,
I think this is another factor.
Yeah. You're wearing cowboy
boots?
But
he's with another guy.
Yeah, with the jeans tucked in.
He's obviously, he makes a comment about the fact that he had to drive 2 hours to get this part, and I didn't know that. Well, I didn't know that because nobody gave me a courtesy call and let me know what was going on. It's all about communication. So I go out there, and then he decides between leaving the house and getting to his car that he's not going to pay me back. I said, okay, don't pay me back.
Well, because he's closer to his car.
I said, how about you just give me $40 and we'll call it evening because I want to be rid of you because you're an a-hole. And I don't say a-hole. I say, and then it's like, well, he's a free country. And we're
free
going
country.
Back and forth. And
well, freer than his country.
He talks about America and he's like, call a cop. And it's really escalating.
Call a cop? I hate when that happens.
Now, wait a minute. Now, hold on, because I'm not throwing this guy under the bus because the fact is, once the dust settles, first of all, I call the guy, and he takes off. I don't get my money back.
What about America?
I am so pissed off. I am really, really mad. I'm calling him back. I'm saying, you don't know who you're screwing with. You know, the whole thing. And
don't you know who I used to be?
My
see that studio? See that name on that wall?
Don't you know who I was one day? In the past, a long time ago.
When my burner broke, I used to buy a brand new stove.
Yes, at the drop of a hat. Yes. And so... I am sitting here. My chest is like I am physically manifesting my rage.
Oh, sure.
I am so wigged out, pissed off, and I'm so mad at this guy. And I call him back. I said, I want to talk to somebody, a supervisor. Are you the one that has? Oh, I said, I'm the owner. I said, of course you're the owner. You couldn't work for anybody else. Of course you're the owner. You couldn't work for anybody else with that attitude that sucks. And you didn't make it with a 3-hour window. You couldn't even get your ass out here to fix a burner on a stove. I'm going nuts. He's yelling at me. Then it's like, don't call. I'm calling the police. Don't call. I'm going to call the police. And
he's starting to react like Eric Stoltz in Pulp Fiction. Prank call.
I hang up
this
with the guy.
This is a movie.
Hang up with this dude. I hang up with him. And you know me, right?
What time is it now? What time is it? Is it like 7:30?
It's like 7:45.
Okay, so your evening is shot.
And my heart rate is
dead sober, raging out.
We got the faux place coming to drop off soup. You know, it's just a very difficult evening.
God, I hope they're on time.
And so they weren't. They weren't, but he was. But that's my guy over there. Okay, that's my man. He comes in and goes, I just had that 1 week baby, one old baby. I'm like, okay, thank you. Happy day. Here's an extra tip. Here for the baby. Have a great day. Just give me the soup. God
damn
it.
Do you know how to fix burners?
So anyway,
you got one of these in the kitchen?
The guy's long gone. Check it out. We have a little din-din. The baby gets put down.
Right.
I'm sitting there, and I look over at my wife. And this is kind of the way I handle stuff now, because it really eats me up that I even reacted the way I did. I'm the one that felt guilty. I did. I don't care that the guy was late. I don't care that the guy had a bit of an attitude because he had a bad day.
Now,
the bottom line was I was the one that kind of went off, and I thought that the reaction to the circumstances, were they wrong for being late? Absolutely.
Yeah, they were.
Were they wrong for not giving a courtesy call? Absolutely, yes. 100%. But I was the one that reacted, and the way I processed that is I just said to myself, you know what? I'm really not going to do real well tonight at all unless I make this right.
But
I said, I don't want to give this guy a bad night. I want to give this guy a good night because I wrecked his night too.
Right, right.
And it's going to wreck my night if I'm just doing it. The old me, seriously, I would have sat there and, F you,
Stood.
Come in here, trashed him, trashed his company. And I don't want to do that to people anymore because I live my life a little differently now. And the fact is, I really did want closure on this because it was so ridiculously overblown by me about the situation. So because at this point I'd called the guy a couple of times and we'd had words, I knew the guy was probably going to hang up on me.
So it continued several times after he
left.
We
had a couple of conversations after he left.
It's like swingers.
Committed the number to memory.
And I said
to break up with him?
I said to my very brave wife, I said, get the guy back on the phone. Tell him I want to apologize to him and tell him I mean it.
And so now she's being like your handler.
Well, because he wouldn't have spoken to me probably because he was, he was freaked out at my reaction. I get him on the phone.
Jerry says that he needs to talk to you.
Please hold for Mr. O'Mara.
She was it's a tall, in my opinion, that's not a small request to get somebody to get the guy on the phone.
Yeah, I would have been like, look, you burned that bridge.
Yeah.
You burned that bridge with that guy.
But see, she's different too.
She's a kind woman.
And she's good to do this.
Right.
And she gets the guy on the phone and the guy apparently wanted our address because he was going to send me a check. So he's feeling a little bit of the same remorse that I'm feeling.
Well, he didn't want you going on Yelp.
I get on the line with him and I say, you know, listen, the dust has settled. I said, it was a bad situation for everybody. The bottom line is you guys were late. You knew you were late. You apologized when you came in here. And I think I completely and totally overreacted. And I didn't want you to go to sleep tonight with this bad taste in your mouth. I wanted you to just know that I sincerely apologize. And he said, I've been going to send you a check. I mean, I said, nope, you're not going to send me a check because you know what? Your service call, it says it very clearly that if I do the repair, then you deduct that off the top. If I don't, that was your time. You got the part. Let's just call it even and have a great night. He said, that is very kind of you. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you. And
I love America.
And he went his way.
Take the bar off the door. He is off the ledge.
I was off the ledge. I felt, can I tell you though, you know how great you feel when you do that? Do you know how wonderful you feel when you at least can repair something
that was done?
Because really, this is like something I would do, back in the day if I was in my cups. I mean, if I got really up over the top at somebody and then have to do the apology tour the day after. It felt like that, only I was cold sober.
What's great about it is that you don't know how it's going to go until he accepts the apology.
At 100%.
And so it's very tense until he says that he loves America and all is well.
He didn't say he loved America.
Well, in Oscar's version, he did. Now, are you still with a broken burner, though?
Yeah, we're getting another guy to come out and fix it. We know what the part number is.
A white guy.
Behave yourself. All right, so
where is your breaker box?
So yesterday,
my name's Ned Flanders.
Now on another note, and this is why I will not scream and yell about Oscar being late
but you know
again.
What? Good
although
for
we
you.
We exchanged 700 text messages yesterday about moving the show start up to a half an hour.
Good for you for handling it that way. You should be very proud and almost proud enough to offset the fact that the man threatened to call the police. It's sort of a wash.
He feared for his life.
He did.
He didn't fear for his life. He was just pissed. And he had a right to be pissed because I was just like, hey, we...
You're a bigger man for calling
him. I couldn't turn the power on. I'm like, F this. F this. Carla recorded it.
What?
I had her destroy it.
Oh, so you wash it afterwards?
Yeah.
No.
She started to play it for me. I said, "Delete that, please."
Oh, that would have been a delete that. That would have been a great audio.
Don't pull a Cerrito on me. You know, Cerrito's big for doing. Hey, look what you were doing.
Oh, I got this.
But anyway,
it's okay. He didn't really call the police.
So what the hell's wrong with you today? Now this is my second tardy Tommy in 48 hours.
Well, let me say what this. First, I do also love America.
Yes.
And
it ain't going to help you here.
And, I completely forgot. I had a rough day yesterday. I've been dealing with healthcare.gov. And
Oscar called me yesterday afternoon.
Did he?
To tell me how he is. We have to save that for tomorrow.
Yes,
for Monday's show.
For Monday.
Because
Monday.
That's
or do you
want to
do a show
thing.
Tomorrow?
I have a complete.
We can do a show tomorrow. I'll take Monday off.
I have a complete breakdown of a play-by-play experience on what's happening with healthcare in America these days.
Wow.
And a little racism's involved.
Mm-hmm.
And
nice!
I've never played the race card before. I'm not a La Raza type of guy.
You know, we normally don't see eye to eye on politics, but he may have a point on this.
Really?
Did you do two shows last night?
Just one.
You just did one
just
show.
Just one show.
And you had planned to do two.
And ran home.
Look better than you did yesterday.
I slept beautifully.
Okay.
It was great.
I'm happy for you.
Too much, apparently.
Slept about a half hour too much.
That's it.
But, you know, in his defense, it's not like we all exchanged specific texts about the early start or emails went out after that were responded to.
He doesn't have the chip. You have to accept him as he is. He does not possess the punctuality chip.
I know.
He doesn't.
I'm so sorry.
You did when you had to. But you know that technically.
I'm late today. I felt horrible.
But I know you do. And that's why I'm not busting your balls about it, but it's good material. The thing is, you know, he doesn't have the chip. And the way we do this show, because we do record it.
Yes.
There is always that element of flexibility. And there's nothing. I can't look at Oscar and lie to him. I can't lie to him and say, we're going on the network at this particular time. I really can't do that.
When our mask,
I'd love to fake it, but he'd know that I was faking it.
I got nothing.
I got nothing.
The masthead on our website actually uses the phrase 10:30-ish. So some of the urgency that has been instilled to us as broadcasters.
Yes.
Has gone by the wayside.
And the only way to handle a chronic tardy is to do this.
What?
And now I'm telling him it, so he'll now know what we're doing, is the same way I used to handle people in college and also in other workspaces where you actually lie about the time.
Yeah.
By a half an hour about the time.
I do it to Carrie all the time.
Do you really?
Absolutely. We have to leave
by 9:30.
I got to leave at 6.
I do it to my parents and my sister and brother.
Why do you do that to them? You do that to them,
yes.
So they'll be on time?
Because at Thanksgiving.
Does your family have a history of this?
Oh, are you kidding me? It's chronic. It's sad.
Really?
The only man that doesn't do it is my dad.
Yeah, you know what, Mike?
He's punctual.
Militant.
Last year, they didn't even celebrate Christmas till the 27th.
So my sister does this bit where she's like, I'll be there by lunch. And I know, I'm like, look.
Oh, that's Lucy Goosey.
I say, look, mom's got she's got something to do. Like, I'll make something up. Like, our tia Toya's coming over. Somebody's coming over.
Does she know you're making something up, though?
No.
She still buys it.
Yeah, because she still comes late and is on time.
Oh.
Yes. And I will call her in the morning and say, hey, look, I want to make sure you're on the road here because tia Toya can't stay here for long. Or I'll make up some relative that's coming.
Aunt Toya.
And then she'll get here on time. But technically, she's late.
What do we do? What can we do for you to help you with your chronic tardiness to the Michael?
Well, it's not going to matter in about 3 weeks.
You're right. It's not. It's not actually going to matter.
I kid you not.
I will be
the first person there because it's a 10-minute walk and a 3-minute drive.
Now, don't you think I got a few payback days, right?
Sure.
For that,
yeah,
since I'll be making the long.
How about I'll go to Starbucks if you're running late? No big deal. It's right downstairs.
And you'll notice that I am keeping my mouth way shut right now.
You've been amazingly punctual.
Well, I mean, but I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that not only will I have the farthest to drive of all the people in your world, I'm the scaredest of Washington, D.C. So I don't know if I come, if I'm 10 minutes late and my ass is bleeding
worry,
from
Rob.
Rape
you won't,
and muggings.
It's the honky side of town.
Is it?
Don't worry, Rob.
The honky side of town.
It's the Embassy Row side of town. It really is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's nothing. You're not going to have to deal with anything.
I'm not bringing my wallet.
No, you actually will just shoot down right next to, you know, where the old Edge Studios were.
Okay.
Just shoot right down to Oscar's World.
Don't know where that is because I was overlooked for Jeff
Shamrock.
You
know, he is such a white suburban that you probably don't, you still don't
know
where
I know where
Embassy's
are.
Good Guys is.
Oh, sure.
Hey, you went down. You went down to like to that horrible location for the McCartney show for the Beatles tribute.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, that was Paul.
It's but not that, in that neighborhood.
No, it's
you're
not anywhere near
you're
that.
Basically in Georgetown. You're above okay. Georgetown.
It's near M Street, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's 1 mile up from M Street.
Okay, I know where you are. Okay.
I wanted to ask you,
no
Oscar,
parking.
Before we go to break. I have
there
to,
is and, no parking.
Incidentally. Not a real spoiler alert, but maybe a little bit of a spoiler alert. I'm not okay. going to say anything because I'm not going to ruin House of Cards for anybody, but I gotta just check and see if my boy Oscar checked out this episode.
Well, he's seen them all.
I saw all of them.
You saw all of them?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, spoiler alert. Turn your radios down.
Well,
if you
have, the... I've done, what,
no, it's just...
What are you doing to
don't
me?
Do it to Rob.
There's a moment.
Which moment?
The moment where how do I put this the right way? The moment with their security guard.
Oh my god! Yeah,
oh
yeah,
my god.
Yeah. There was a lot, and not again. You don't know which one.
No.
You don't know who.
No.
Amazingly set up.
But too. I will say,
amazingly
that, so
set up. Like I was.
Shannon
like,
and I.
Holy.
Shannon
S.
and I were watching it together, and I right. said, I looked at her, I said, "Are you feeling uncomfortable?"
Okay.
The best of O'Mara.
Without further ado, let's get to news.
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 Boo.
News.
News.
News. 80-year-old Brady Bunch mom Florence Henderson.
Box.
Still loves to get it on, baby.
Mm-hmm. Wessonality.
Here's her quote.
Yeah.
It keeps getting better.
Oh.
You learn to do things with more experience, intelligence, and the ability to choose more wisely.
She's 80?
She's 80 years old.
Yes, wow, and right. still getting it done. Mm. Good for her.
Do you think it smells like icy hot?
Flow head.
Do you think it smells like icy hot?
Oh, God.
Oh.
Well, she even has a friend with benefits, fellas. He's a chiropractor that does not live in Good. California. Guess where he lives?
Where?
Where do you think?
Florida.
Yes, thank you, Ron Spiewak, for 20 points.
You know what's great? When you're 80, the friends with benefits, the main benefit is not getting laid. It's having a chiropractor.
There you go. She didn't say how old he is, but she admitted she likes to date guys in their 60s.
Oh, yeah. Make it crack.
Wow. Gwyneth Paltrow, this is a very sexy news you may not need today.
Nice.
She has revealed that... She gets her genitalia steamed at a Korean spa in L.A.
Well, it's better for you than having it fried.
Yeah. Well, you don't want to
really,
put it in the wash.
She lets it all... She reveals everything and does a
you
lot of
you were
going to
say
stuff,
she lets
she?
It all hang out and you
Thank
thought
you,
better
yeah.
of it.
Is it a steam this, cleaning? What is it?
Well, this is what she says. It's quote,
served with veggies.
You sit on what is essentially a mini throne... And a combination of infrared and mugwort steam.
Mugwort
what is mug?
That is a. That's like a. Isn't that like an herb or something?
It is.
Oh, cheer up, Tony.
Infrared and mugwort steam cleanses your parts down there.
Yeah, I see. I could see that.
She
it's
says
just like
it's,
if you have a high end car, you don't want to. You want to go to a touchless car wash.
Sure,
instead of brush.
You know, she I bet you Florence Henderson could use some mugwort steam.
Thank you, Rob. It's an energetic release that
yeah.
balances female hormone levels. That's
okay.
what she
right.
says. So, who knows?
That's Make not any hocus pocus. That's all sound stuff.
The sex news continues today. Chelsea Handler has unleashed her chest for world peace. Have you seen this picture on the
No.
I have. She is in Israel, and she posted a picture of herself sitting on a camel topless.
One humper two.
She loves doing this on Instagram.
She does. She loves
she
showing
loves
her breasts.
She loves doing this, but she loves doing it in inappropriate places.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah.
It's
and
almost
she
like
has
a problem.
She has Stars of David stickers on her nipples.
Oh,
and I saw the picture. She's kind of looking, pointing
Here
up to
go.
The sky. She captioned it, quote, "A Muslim allowed a topless Jew to sit on his camel. And we say we can't live side by side. I say we try, and we can, and we will. And you don't even have to be topless. L'chaim." That's what
a lot
she
of
wow.
fun.
She is
nice
very bold.
Cans for her age,
yeah.
right?
She got it together.
Very nice. I think she's very proud of her body, and
yeah,
she likes to show it off.
Yeah, she needs a little steam, though.
You can bet on more than just the game on Super Bowl Sunday. They always post this time of year. Online sports books have all kinds of other crazy bets that you can bet. I always thought that if we were in Vegas at Super Bowl time, it might be a lot of fun to put one of these weird bets down.
Sure.
You can bet on how long Idina Menzel's national anthem will last. Mm. You can bet on whether Katy Perry will show cleavage at halftime. I would say that's a probably
guaranteed.
A small payout on that one. And whether Marshawn Lynch will grab his crotch. Hallelujah. And what color Gatorade will be dumped on the winning coach? Oh. You can bet on things like
can
that.
Can you Those bet on whether Al Michaels is going to show cleavage?
Hey, he was on the Golf Channel last night, as a matter of fact, being interviewed by David Fay.
I was watching Channel 4 NBC, and they had a promo for the Super Bowl. Apparently, the game is this Sunday. And they during the promo,
I'm such an ass.
They put up the briefest shot of Chris Collinsworth and Al Michaels, and I realized it's because no one wants to know that they're calling the game.
Right,
I mean, they're
exactly.
horrible. They
yeah,
are horrible.
They
I'm
are
so
nasty.
Glad we're going to be in a bar where we can watch and not listen.
I rarely do this on the show, but I'm going to do it this week. We have the top 10 albums on the Billboard pop charts.
Oh, cool.
Are you ready for
yeah.
this? Number 10, I don't know any of these, so you can mock me if I mispronounce right. anything. Uptown Special, Mark Ronson. Anybody know that?
Yeah, that's got Uptown Funk on it. Bruno Mars, a collaborator. That's a good song.
Number 9, In the Lonely Hour, Sam Smith. Anybody?
Yes, yep. yes,
okay,
yes.
Okay, very good. Number 8, it's new, The Pale Emperor with Marilyn Manson. He's got a brand new
don't
album.
Don't know
that.
One.
Wow, still happening after all these years.
Mm-hmm. Number 7, another new one, What a Terrible World, What a Beautiful World, The Decemberists. Has anybody heard
They've
of
They've been around a while. I didn't know they had any new product out.
Number 6, The Pink Print. I'm sorry, The Pink Print.
How's that?
The Pink Print.
Pink Print.
Nicki Minaj. And number 5, new B4Daz. Joey Badass, 58,000 copies, so that's number 5. Number 4 is X by Ed Sheeran. Number 3, Title, Meghan Trainor.
Yeah.
Number 2 is 1989 by Taylor Swift. And number 1, at the top of this week's top 10 albums, ladies and gentlemen, American Beauty, American Psycho,
Fallout Boy.
Whoa, there you
there
go.
You go. Nothing like $400.
Yep. Yeah, Fallout Boy.
Think how many copies of that you could buy for
Rob. Is this
$456?
Rob, what can you say about? I mean, this is obviously
they're
is
hot
this a
right
new
now.
Thing for them, or
and
what?
It's so great, hot right now, Mike.
But you know what? It's a great album. It is of all the stuff I've heard. It sounds a lot like their older stuff, but it's more poppy. There's at least 4 singles on it, and the title track, "American Beauty, American Psycho," is fantastic. It's a really.
Is it worth $500?
The album is not. $500. You can download the album for $8, and it's worth it.
Rob's investment is more than that. His total.
I think about the time when she was running. She was working on that contest.
Yes.
Oh, the 4 weeks of airtime.
Yep. Yeah.
We should bill him for that.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Bill, charge him. Damn it, charge him.
Yeah, good luck with your drone.
There you go.
Yeah. Hope you get a big fat check.
I'm not gonna.
And you know what? You'll never hear Fall Out Boy on this show like I just did. Anyway, one woman's attempts to make sure a cockroach was dead may cross over into the realms of overkill. When a young female janitor in Taiwan. Oh, we need the music.
Oh.
Sorry about that. Thank you very much.
Does she work in the steaming parlor?
When a young female janitor in Taiwan, that's Korea, Rob.
Oh, I'm
was,
sorry.
Was cleaning an office, stumbled upon a cockroach. She didn't hesitate to act. First, she stepped on it. Next, she wrapped the cockroach in tissue paper and crushed it. Then she set it on fire.
Good.
Then, just to make sure it was gone for good, she tossed the cockroach into the toilet, forgetting that she just cleaned the toilet.
Oh, no.
The result of the flaming cockroach and the cocktail of detergents in the toilet bowl was an extremely potent homemade explosive, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, sir.
Science is great.
Oh, my God.
Promptly went off with a bang, blowing the toilet apart and stunning an office full of employees outside.
Stunning
the employees outside.
Stunning.
Thank you very much. Yes. And now a little something. Dover, Delaware police say 39-year-old Marlo Holmes was arrested Monday afternoon during a traffic stop. They said police dogs alerted officers to the presence of narcotics inside the car Holmes had been riding in. During a search of the car, officers said they discovered more than 28 grams of cocaine,
stuffed into his prosthetic leg.
Oh, no.
And Holmes was arrested. Police say he faces charges of possession with intent to deliver cocaine and possession of drug paraphernalia. He was jailed with bond set at $81,000. Wow, that's a steep bond there. Police say they kept the drugs as evidence but returned Holmes' leg. A police spokesman said, until the dogs arrived, officers were stumped.
Okay.
Hello? Hello, it's me, Pedro. I don't have much to say, but I wanted to tell you that while I ride my bike to school, I like to listen to the Cake and Cookie Show with Rob and Katie. They're really good. I was looking for a podcast about building cakes or something, and it wasn't until a few episodes in that I realized that Cake and Cookies wasn't about cake or cookies. But I still like Rob and Katie, so I still listen. You can find them on iTunes or on the Michael Mayer Show app. I'm feeling really hot. I'm gonna go home and lie down.
Cake and Cookies. Rob and Katie. It's the Rob and Katie Show. The best of O'Mara.
Greetings, greetings. My two beautiful daughters are in residence right now.
Oh, nice.
That's cool. Did they fly up together or on separate flights?
They flew up together.
Nice.
Because of their collegeness. They didn't let me really know what the schedule was going to be. My Christmas gift to them is that I was going to fly them here. Thank you for the reasonable airfares. However, even with reasonable airfares, when you don't book for a while and you're talking about the holidays.
Yes,
they get you.
Problematic. And the problem was that I had to book them to get them on a nonstop up here to the wilds of Maine. I had to book them at an odd hour. So my schedule is
off-peak hours, Mike?
Off-peak hours, yes. Let me tell you, if I'm picking somebody up at an airport at 7 o'clock at night,
yeah,
I'm saying, why did they get in so late? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, because you usually are in the envelope around 8.
Easily, especially up here. I'll tell you about
the
weather.
First class, flat rate.
Yeah, first class, I'm in the, tuck me in. The fact is, their arrival time last night was 10 before the witching hour. That's right, 11:51 p.m., 10 before midnight. That's when they were scheduled to get in. And when I went to the little flight app that I had, the tracker app that I have for the flight, it said it was 38 minutes late. So I'm thinking they're going to get in probably around 1 o'clock in the morning.
Sure.
And it's going to be difficult. So I go into the drill where, we are sitting down with the little guy and we're chowing down. We're having our evening meal at about 4:30 in the evening. And, put the little guy down
at
6:30.
Yes, he said 4:30. Yes.
It's all condensed, by the way. It's all compressed. It really is. Dinner at 4:30, 5 o'clock.
Mike, you move two or three events around slightly, and they're arriving at the time you're getting up.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
could almost wake up for strange. The day and go get them at the airport.
Yeah, it's not right. And then, the little guy turns in at about 6:45. And then that's, that's when time becomes compressed.
Right.
And by 9 o'clock, if I'm up past 9 o'clock, it's a rarity. I mean, I'm just tuning in.
It gets dark up there at like 4:30, right? 3:30 because of the northernness of it.
The sun at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
The sun is setting?
Sun is low in the sky.
Wow.
Real weird. Real weird. And then you get a
northern lights.
You get kind of a gray low light starting relatively early in the morning. But you guys were up there when we watched the sunrise at like 2:30 a.m. Remember that?
Yeah.
When you were up there.
But
up here it's a little late.
Worth
so six,
it.
6 o'clock, you've got kind of this gray light, and it lasts and lasts. But the sun rises at about 7:30, and it goes down at about 3:30, 3:45. Hi, Rofo.
Hello.
I just had to.
Isn't he the best?
He just has that big.
He's the best.
Giant,
he's like,
you know what?
I've seen that sunset. I've seen it.
It is. It's the best Rofo, Mike, because you know what it is? It's Christmas Rofo.
Yeah, that's the best season for him.
He is so happy. He likes the cold weather.
We'll talk about that later in the show, but I just can't look at that mug without thinking.
Never pay them to me.
Anyway,
Hermes.
Hermes. Yeah.
So your schedule's completely off.
Yeah, it's.
What
just,
do you do? What do you do when you know you can't go to bed and you have
How
to stay
do you
up?
Kill 6 hours.
I don't know. The thing is, I'm sitting there and it's about 8:30. And for some reason, I said, yeah, I'm going to get out of here around 9 o'clock, go up there. And she's like, well, what? Why are you going to go so early? I said, because, you know, I'll just fart around up there, and I got to get some gas in the car. And I really didn't have a plan. I swear to God, I
really
didn't have a plan. But then I see, this is literally how out of touch I've been here. I see Jerky post something at the game, and I'm like, oh my God, I forgot Monday night.
It's Monday night football. Yes.
It's Monday night football.
Redskins are playing.
And Carla suddenly gets like peeved at me and said, well, I guess you're not leaving early now, are you? And I don't know why she said that. But
what a weird triple reverse that is.
It was weird. Carla goes off to bed. It's 8:30, and I'm thinking 9:40. It's going to take me about an hour to get up there. I'm going to roll out 9:40, get up there about 10:40. I'll have an hour and 10 minutes. And, you know, I'll wait for them in the airport bar. I won't drink because I'm not going to pick them up and drink and drive.
Good for you.
And
or
it's a school
they
night.
Can just drive you home and you can drink.
Hey, guess who's here to pick you up?
Two shows to do, Oscar.
Okay.
Two shows to do. Didn't feel like doing
got
that.
Got it.
Just coming out of this little cold. Don't feel like feeling crappy in the morning. So I kill the time. I get to, you know, the game. Thank you, the game. Although the game was difficult, you know. Man, oh, man, that was a tough loss.
Yeah.
That was actually a sad game.
I love the fact that, Mike, even though you've moved from different location to different location, you've kept your team loyalty.
It wasn't even entertaining. Yeah. That's the sad part.
I just wish they could have done better.
Well, you know, the odds of them getting in the playoffs were slim anyways.
Yeah, I know.
But
am I the only one who thinks they can't run the table?
A good contest would have been nice to watch.
Well, they came in second.
Well, and the Carolina Panthers, you know, they didn't even qualify for the playoffs, so.
Yeah, but they're in the middle of that great dynasty.
Right, thank you. So
it feels like you're skirting around something.
Yeah. All right, so here it is. So I'm driving up, and I have I'm a man of many vices, okay? I like my Irish whiskey. I like to eat. And I also like to gamble. Oh. So I get on the road, and I get into Ellsworth, Maine, and in my mind, I'm sitting there going, okay, it's cold. It's two below zero right now. I'm driving into Ellsworth, and it's 2 below 0. And I said, I'm on the way up. And I'm like, I wonder if the Tim Hortons donut shop happens to be open at this early. It's the cold temperatures.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there going, oh, no. And I'm like, you know, no, don't do that.
It's survival, though, at this
point. And it's comfort food, and there's a certain feeling when you drive at night and it's freezing outside, your car gets warm, you, like, look down at the dashboard, it says -2. There's a certain good feeling when you're driving alone.
Oh, I've never had that feeling at -2, no.
Oh, when you're inside a warm car and you know it's cold outside?
No.
I love it. I think it's fantastic.
Suddenly, I said, no, you're not going to do that. You ate real well yesterday. You did really well. You know, had a healthy dinner, root vegetables. But anyway, it was just...
Did you gather them yourself?
No, Carla likes root vegetables. I don't like root. I don't like beets, rutabagas, all that. Oh, but she had that with a...
Beets are for rubes.
But she had that with a very nicely roasted chicken. Okay.
Nice. That's healthy. That's certainly healthy.
Very nicely roasted chicken.
Sensible.
And I'm driving through, and I said, no, you're not going to do that. You can drive up to bed. And then I said, well, wait a minute. There is something you can do. And suddenly it dawned on me, and I suddenly remembered... There's a little casino in Bangor.
Oh, no.
You have a problem.
And I'm going to... Yeah, I have a problem. I know I have a problem. I'm aware of it.
Can you swear up and down?
I'm not calling you like every third day, though, and going, please put some more funds in. What's that? I'm sorry, what?
Can you swear up and down that it really was spur of the moment and there was nothing...
It wasn't subconscious. You're like, I'm on the way.
It might be subconsciously premeditated, but I'm talking about his conscious.
It was getting up... It was leaving my home. That's when I processed it.
Okay.
All that went on, and I said, you know, don't eat, go, and then you can kill a half an hour there, and it'll be fun, and you'll be up there, because I didn't want to go an hour and a half, 2 hours, and sit in the airport.
No.
I wanted to...
That's what human beings do. People do that all the time.
Well, most people go to a casino for 30 minutes.
But the thing is... But I mean, it was on the way. It's all close, and it was just a solution. It was a solution to my problem.
It's really not a solution.
But it was something something that popped into my head.
Babe,
I said, this
the
is
lumber
good.
Yard is right on the way to Iowa.
Just go there for 30 minutes.
We have to stop there. We've been driving this entire time.
If you want to know how the brain works, it was I'll roll up and I'll just get some gas in the car and I'll drive around and I like to get out
You'll
there.
Sniff
I like
around.
To get up there. Yeah. I just sniff
You'll
around.
Fear the magic.
I'm just going to do that. I'm just going to sniff around and then it went to, oh, game on. Oh, I don't have to leave then. This
there
is
you go.
I just want to, you know, you asked the question, what are you going to do? What are you going to do for all the, you know, the hours?
Yeah, to kill all the time.
And I just didn't have an answer. And so I'm searching because this is normally time I'm in bed. I don't want to. I didn't want to. I hate killing
you
time.
You can't be yeah. left alone to your not, own devices.
Mm-hmm.
Killing time for me is the worst activity. That's the last thing I want to do is kill time. So it just was an idea. And suddenly it's like, oh, isn't this great? Mike will have the linguine with white clam sauce and a Coke with no ice.
Hey, Rat, I was just you very, here too?
I was very, very, isn't this great? Hey, came over to help you with your math homework.
Hey, Rat, you left your wallet at my house.
And they say that a lot, Rat.
Oh, shut up, Ratner.
Now no. I'm excited for you. Now I'm yeah. excited.
And they say that a lot, Damone.
I reversed it. Right
you, you breach the perimeter. Do you call Carla and let her know? Because that's usually what you call a lifeline.
Right.
I got to say one more thing before you yes. move off Fast Times at Ridgemont,
yeah.
Ridgemont High.
Yes.
Dan O'Brien, so you want to work at All American Burger. Anyway.
Dan O'Brien.
So I wanted to say. So the idea was go up there, half hour, maybe a little longer if the plane's delayed, and I'll head out. And I did go up there.
Okay.
And I did do it.
And I didn't lose anything. And I left.
Yes.
And exactly even?
A little bit up.
Nice.
Now that's strong.
Thank you.
That's
Thank
strong.
You. But I mean, I literally was there for 20 minutes. I'm not exaggerating. I was in there for 20 minutes, yeah. and I got out. And the thing is, all the real fun started after I left.
The world of technology can be a scary place, especially if you're elderly. That's why we're lucky that More Broadcasting has a show like Tech 411.
Good morning.
Oh, Kathleen Turner. Speaking of elderly, great to see you. I was just spreading the word about Tech 411.
Good.
Your hosts with the most, Todd Moore.
What a heartbreaker.
Well, yeah, I guess he is a fine-looking man. Todd Moore and Oscar Santana.
He can be difficult.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Let's let that one go.
But anyway, they'll bring you the latest news in technology, like the newest smartphone apps.
That's not interesting to me.
Sorry. All the newest gadgets, like the iPhone 6.
And the idiots put money in that.
And review the products and services you need to know about.
I would definitely slit my throat.
Miss Turner, give it a chance. They'll make it simple enough even for you to understand.
Yeah, right.
It hits the web sometime in the middle of the week. And you can subscribe through iTunes or add the RSS feed to your favorite podcast player at tech411.com or on the Tech 411 app.
I know I would.
It's Tech 411 with Todd Moore and Oscar Santana. And it's only from Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment. Now, was that so bad?
It's lovely. Lovely work.
Thank you. Now, get the heck out of here so we can get back to the show.
You son of a...
And shut the door before Larry gets in! Oh, no.
I miss putting my finger in a hole and making that sweeping circular motion. Brump, brump.
Ugh, Larry, gross.
The Best of O'Mara.
I was informed while we were fixing our technical issues that we almost had a major crisis with an accident. Something, what happened?
Okay, look, people, and I want the Rob mob to listen carefully.
Please do.
You almost lost your hero.
Now, I didn't have any video connection when this went down, but something almost tragic.
Someone
Mike, this will have to exist. This will only have to exist from here on out as an oral history. And like the movie Rashomon, I'm sure you're going to hear several different versions of the same event.
Someone,
are you saying there could be some BS
someone
involved?
Call,
I'm very curious to hear
someone
this.
Someone call OSHA because we have an unfit, unsafe work environment.
What happened exactly?
Rob, why don't you tell the man and I'll tell them my version.
Oh, no, I think it might be better if you begin, but let's go with this idea. Sure.
You have your version, but afterwards we realized there was a second version.
Oh, there was?
When you... Mike, awkwardly walked out of the
when
room.
We had the time that I, you know, we were running a little late, and I said, you know what? The last thing I want is a urinary urgency feeling during the show. So
valid.
I said, while we were
started about an hour late,
nobody
and,
wants a
you
UTI.
Know. No. So what we did is they were working on getting you hooked up on the Skype and getting all that stuff fixed up. That's
and
not really my scene.
Little, it seems like it's a little tedious for you today.
Well,
it,
how do you mean?
I don't know. I just, you know, I mean, this time of year, I always give you a little hard time. I think that
this time of year, yes.
I think you'd rather be. You'd rather be in front of a Yule log.
No, it's not so much that
you're going to be happy. You're going to be happy on next Wednesday.
I don't know that I have the ability to be happy anymore.
Yeah, I get that impression. You don't seem.
More jolly, Rob.
No, there's jolly.
Rob doesn't seem jolly.
But there's a frustration factor when, and it's not at anybody. It's just at the situation.
Well, see, I heard differently. I heard that you did snap.
Who did you snap at today?
Today? Was it? I don't know. Who did I snap at today? Normally, it's Adrian that gets me.
Explain what happened and then who you snapped at.
All right. I snapped at myself, if anybody.
I hate the fact that I didn't see this. I hate the fact
that
I didn't see it.
Me too. So I had to pee. So while they were getting that resolved, and it's, you know, no one was happy at this point because we were dealing with a lot of issues. I stood up, and as I rounded the corner of the board.
Can I just stop you for just a second
there?
Please. I wasn't unhappy. I mean, it was a process. We were kind of dealing with
I think we have a process.
Troubleshoot.
Now, in the event that this is Wednesday, if I'm a healthy guy and I'm down here with my Cocoonville golf mates, I'm extraordinarily unhappy.
Right.
I would be that version of me that you guys don't let me come for setups and stuff.
Yes.
Because I'm so uptight.
Yeah, the man who dispenses tension.
Because your time is more important than us.
But just for clarification, I don't think that there was one teaspoon of tension dispensed.
You actually, this is the best you've ever been. Yeah. If we're looking at it, the year.
But I'm also not saying saying there was tension. I'm saying there was frustration because we all sit down at 9 o'clock. We want to do the show, and we couldn't do the show. So that's frustrating.
Yeah, it's frustrating. Okay, I was more frustrated at the beginning than I was at the end.
Right. So, and you know what? And I do. I applaud our team for resolving a situation.
I do too.
Don't get happy.
I like it when, you know what? We are not professional engineers. When we troubleshoot our own stuff, I love that. I love that because it just means it's more stuff we do on our own.
But we learned
less stuff that we can let the fingers of the man get into our business.
That's the man.
I hate the man, big engineer. And, you know, we learned well because we worked at CBS for years with people that weren't professional engineers.
Oh, God.
Rockville. Learned from the best.
So it was, you needed to go to the restroom.
So I stood up and rounded the board, and I can still feel it. My muscle memory is there. My right foot caught on something. And I nearly fell, but I caught myself. It was a stumble, but not a fall.
It was actually the most athletic I've ever seen Rob.
Mm-hmm.
You've got some fast twitch muscle fibers because any other man would have been on a gurney right now being rolled out.
And Mike, really? There is a chance
I would have fallen.
The sudden tightening of all of my muscles for that save, there's a chance that by about 4 o'clock this afternoon, they will relax and I will become feeble and unresponsive.
And incontinent.
I will release, as Jerry Lewis says, like a goddamn dike opened up.
Poo came from every hole I had.
But that's not till 4. So when you're watching Judge Judy today, remember that's what's going on at my house. Right. I'm going to have to lay out a tarpaulin.
I'm curious about the stories I like are when people don't play to type. So I like the fact that you snapped at something.
So I looked down and I assumed that I had tripped on a backpack.
Yeah, because we have our wonderful interns Dan O'Brien and Vincent here today.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you see a backpack?
Dan O'Brien.
Yeah, I looked down and saw the backpack, and I assumed that was it. Okay. And then I asked, I said, check that the wire. I didn't unplug anything because it could have been a wire. And then I got myself out the door, and that's when Dan volunteered, or was it Vincent? I think it was Vincent.
Dan O'Brien, he wanted to help.
Yeah, Dan wanted to help.
Yes.
Dan O'Brien, our intern.
Dan O'Brien.
He said, well, here's what you tripped on, and it was my headphone cable, my own headphones I had tripped on. I had set them down and actually dragged it's like an old telephone cable, as you see, the rotary. Yeah. And
I think people know what a headphone is.
Now it is much straighter than it used to be. Because
Take them off your head?
No, I did take them off my head, but I also seem to have dragged them by foot around the studio. And not just the distance of 6 feet, as the crow would fly. I took it around the board.
Well, where did the snapping part come in?
What I did is Dan said, this is what you tripped on. And I said, exceptional. Or something to that effect, showing that I was at fault, that I was an idiot. I snapped at myself.
Did you bellow whose backpack is this?
I did not.
There was a dickish
these effing kids in their backpacks. And then quickly...
That's so yep. not true.
No, there was that tone, right? These millennials, these lazy Fs. Like there was
I will say, I probably said...
along those lines.
What I said, I will cotton
see,
to this.
See, our jelly old up. We just love it when he gets tense.
What I will say is this. I said, I think I tripped on a backpack.
On a backpack.
Not you right. see, so he's not a clever mimic. That's not what I said.
Dan is scared because he still respects Rob at this point, as he should.
Right.
And he looks down and he wants to help, right? O'Brien. He's a man of action.
Yeah. And not a man of words.
And as Jason Statham, the transporter, walks out to the restroom, you've got Dan O'Brien, his trusty sidekick, looking
Hold
at
it, not my sidekick at all. At all.
Was he assisting you out?
Well, he was helping.
Did he assist you to the
fix the headphones?
I asked him to check the wires, yes. And I think he took it on himself. You know what? I like when they take initiative. He put my headphones back.
Yeah, they were. And what you don't know, and maybe you did.
Oh, there's thousands of things I don't know.
So your headphones actually the left ear
yes.
split completely in half. So
how do you?
So the complete
so he
headphone,
damaged them in totality.
You might not hear this because you're deaf, but one of those. The left or right may not be working right now.
What'd you say? They sound fantastic. In fact, they sound better.
They sound better now.
Yes.
He snapped your not just your cushions into place, but whatever wire.
Hey, I'll have you
there.
Not talk about my cushions. How dare so you?
After Oscar told me about this, I said, well, is he okay today? I always check on yeah. Rob to see if
you
Rob's
worry.
Doing okay. And Oscar's comment that the one you're really going to love
yes.
is, well, he's a little stressed out. He did put the tree up last night.
That's nice. You know what stresses me out?
What?
This head. But I applaud him because he channels his headedness.
Whoa!
For
okay,
good.
Come on.
He does.
Come on, Pony's got to edit
yeah,
all those.
How dare you? Yeah. Give this guy more work.
And you know what, Pony? You're a kid, too.
Oh, my God. Wow. See?
Just handing him out
now. Were you mad about the tree comment?
I'm bitter about my tree, and I'll tell you why. It's, I believe, year number 7 of this tree.
Were you up late last night?
No. I was in bed by 10:25.
You got plenty of sleep?
Lots of sleep. Lots of sleep. Everything's fine.
You didn't have any crown while you were putting up the tree?
Had a couple glasses of wine. That's it. And that was after. That was after. But here's the problem with the tree. Year number 7 of this General Electric brand tree. As a matter of fact, Mike, it's the 9-foot version of the 7.5-foot that you had in Manassas.
Pretty quality product.
But after 7 years, three of, by my count, of the pre-lit strings of lights are out.
You know, can I say this for what they charge for those trees? Hundreds of dollars. I mean, I'm tired of the whole one bulb goes out and the whole string.
I even worked with fuses last night. You know those little tiny, horrible fuses?
I have your old tree?
You do.
I have your old tree, Mike, up in my house right now.
How do you fit that in that 200 square foot house that you live in?
It takes up a lot of the house, but it's there.
You would have more room if you were able to knock down that chimney.
That's true.
So.
Otherwise, but Mike, if he did that, how would the man bring the gifts?
So, was it more labor for you setting your tree up this year?
No, it wasn't that bad. What it was the frustration of knowing that this is the last year of this tree.
And you do all the decorating, right?
Yeah, one of the greatest sentences, and it's been said by all three of the other members of my family this year, is, when are we putting the tree up? And to all of them, I said the same thing. When are we going to put the tree up?
Why don't you lay it
tell
on them one
them.
Year? Why don't you go upstairs or get... Where's your tree? On the main level of your home?
Yeah, as you come in, right in the front. Actually,
why don't
we have
you
the
go down to the basement into your cave and say, Carrie, kids... Let's get this tree decorated and vamoose and put it on them one year.
Chop.
You just relax and enjoy.
You know why? Because they won't do it. And if they did it, they'd do it wrong.
Excuse me. You're the patriarch.
Yeah, you're,
what do you mean they
you're
won't
Papa.
Do it? Are they not eating your food? Are they not living under your roof? Are they not?
Are you are not, they not providing for them?
You're the great provider. You know,
well,
they won't do it.
Great
Screw
is
that.
Such a big word. Such a powerful word.
You know, but you like to do it, don't you?
Well, there is a
you
part of me.
You want it to be just so. That's your obsessive.
That is.
Also.
It's the OCD. Now, I will put other stuff on them to do.
Like
but
what?
For example, Like what? Like putting out the other Christmas accoutrement and cleaning up and carrying stuff and moving stuff around. They will be involved.
I'll set it up for you.
Where's the nativity scene?
All I asked you to do is set up the goddamn creche.
Right. It's a creche, by the way. That's what we... That's
and Rob gets that from his nativity
old,
scene?
Well, Rob gets that from his old Catholic background. That's what we called it, a creche. We had a great one. Oh, did we have a great one? And we had one that was like in the family for years.
Life size,
like,
wasn't it?
The donkey. Yeah, it was life size. Yeah. And I, up until age 14, was the baby Jesus.
Of course. And every year, a different celebrity voice.
Yeah, and a different size of swaddling clothes.
Look, so, it's the baby Jesus, and he sounds just like Jack Carter. I had to do it like someone from 1970.
You want to move that cow back a little bit? All right. It was wonderful. But it had little, like, the donkey's ear would be broken, and Joseph's cape would
that
have
is
a little
so
chip
weird.
Out of it.
I think that is the most common nativity problem, is broken donkey ears, because we had that, too.
We have a nativity in our house down here in Florida that's about that big. It's a tiny one. It's a tiny, and it's in my, and it stays in my kids' room. So that's
sweet.
My grandmother.
Was it a hassle this year? Was it a hassle?
It was a little bit of a hassle because you get there and you set it up, and it's heavy. It comes in four pieces.
Heavy.
It's
a pain in the ass.
It is, but the thing is that those lights out, man, that pisses me off. I hate that. Right. The only thing that is soothing about it is knowing that at the end of this year, I don't have to pack the tree away. I can just throw it away.
I can't.
Yeah, well, you know what? I am going to. I haven't talked about this much, but we make the travel up to the Great White North,
right?
And I'm giving some serious thought to chopping down. Not really chopping
right
down.
Right in your backyard, right? Going there with a sawzall.
I think so. I think.
Yeah. How many pine trees? Oh,
well, that's
Mike,
all. The thing is, I don't have a big yard.
You're
but
missing
it's
out on that opportunity.
It's chock-a-block with
O'Mara's trees.
Oh, Mike, I could give you a good business model.
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't have enough land. But surrounding my area are trees.
What kinds?
And then, huh?
What kinds of trees?
Buy one of these celebrity trees.
Short-needled pine or long-needled pine, like a white pine or a Scotch pine?
Sure.
Well, you see, if you go with a long-needled tree, they're virtually impossible to decorate. So
well,
what you
I
want
think,
is like a Scotch pine
be,
or a
I don't
spruce.
Think it's going to be that kind. I think we're up
Scotch
with
the
hardier
rocks.
Pines. We're spruces and stuff like that.
Or a nice oak would be good. Maple.
Yeah. Birch.
Wait, so you
birch.
So you have an outside shot of chopping down your own tree with your family.
I will,
a real man.
I'm not going to do a handsaw, and I'm not going to chop it. I'm going to take a little power tool.
Do you have one?
And,
a chainsaw?
No, but I'm going to find... I got friends of mine that we have them... That I can. I
this
can,
a friend
I
of ours.
Places. I'll take care of it. I'll let you know. I'll let you know.
Because you know a simple bow saw is not bad for that job.
Yeah, it's two. Yeah, it's a two man job. Just get call him.
No,
bow,
you don't
okay.
understand. You don't understand the state of my body. My body is in a state.
I
am a poster
explain.
Child for inflammation. Okay?
How about a simple bow saw and a wife is good for that job?
You know, she better be there. This ain't gonna be just me.
Yeah,
and I'll have my my daughters up there too. So
that's
good.
That's right.
So I'm gonna be like, and then it's gonna be okay. Take it into the house, kids.
And then they find you in the wood chipper.
What I expect to contribute will be a through a little short little stump, small tree, six feet, 5 feet, something like that. Not huge. And then
they're bigger when you get them inside, Mike.
And it's from the land.
And if it is, if we're able to pull it off, then they drag it into the house. I put it in the little thing, and then I go have a toddy.
Excellent.
That's it.
Will you have a creche up there?
A creche.
A creche. No, I don't think so. We don't have anything up there. I mean, really. We have everything down here.
My father got a very modern nativity set for his mother, who was so Catholic. She was wear the black mantilla over her hair Catholic when she went to church. And it was a very, very modern sort of realization of Joseph and Mary and the baby Jesus. And when she saw
it. But it was your father's creche, right?
It was my father's gift to her.
It was hers again because HBS gave it. It was they were all topless.
One last thing. Please remember that MikeOMaraShow.com/Amazon is the best way to shop for anything and everything. So, shop Amazon and get there through our website. Always open at MikeOMaraShow.com/Amazon. Now, go in peace.